All right, today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Beis. Just want to thank the owners of the Lower East Side Deli here in Orlando, Florida, for allowing us to use the store to give the daf Yomi Shir. We are going to start on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph at the top of the two dots. Four lines into the page on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, there were two Mishnayos that began this parak, one right after the other, that discussed the malach of kosher, discussed the malach of tying knots. There are three basic types of knots that one can tie that emerge from these two Mishnayos. There are some knots for which a person is chayiv chatos because that's a kesher shel kayama, that's a full legitimate knot, and that was the first Mishnah, elu ksharm shechayavin aleihem, the ksharm that a person is chayiv on. Then there are some knots that aren't quite as permanent, that a person is patra av alasir, that it's asir to tie, but you're not going to be chayiv chatos. And that's the beginning of the second Mishnah of Yeshcha Ksharim She'in Chayavin Aleim Kikashra Gamalim Kashra Sabanim. And then there are some knots that are so impermanent, that are so temporary, that a person is not only not Chayav Echatos, but it's Mamash Mutu L'Chadchila to tie those knots. And that's the second half of that second Mishnah on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where the Mishnah had said Kosheris Yisha Mavtei Chaluka Chutei Savacha Shal Pizka Ritzuos Minel Sandal, etc., gave a whole list of knots that a person is actually Mutu L'Chadchila to tie. So today's daf is going to discuss four basic topics. The Gemara will discuss each of the knots that the Mishnah permits making, that is mutar l'chadchila to make on Shabbos, and we'll explain what the chiddush is in permitting each type of knot, what the chiddush is in saying that it's not a kesher shel kayama. The Gemara then is going to bring a steer between two brisos with regards to knots of shoes and sandals. Some of the brisos, some of those knots we're going to say are chayiv chatas, others we're going to say are patal av alaser, others we're going to say are mutar l'chadchila, and we'll try to figure out what type of knots fit into each category, both on shoes and on sandals. Third topic the Gemara is going to discuss today is what a person should do if the straps of his shoes break on Shabbos, and what the status of a broken shoe is. Is it still considered a shoe? Is it not a kli at all anymore, and therefore muktzah? Can it be used for chalitza? Is it mekabel tuma? The status of broken shoes. And then finally, on Amud Beis, the final discussion of the daf is going to be about things that break in general. At what point do they lose their tuma status? Meaning a kli, generally speaking, once it's kemotzi rimon, once the hole is big enough that it would, the hole in the kli is big enough that a pomegranate would be able to fall through the hole, it loses its status as a kli. What if you have a hole that's the size of a zayis, and then you fill the hole, then another hole the size of a zayis, and you fill that hole, then another hole, and all the holes together would have equaled the size of motzi rimon, but you kept on repairing it, so did it lose its status of tumah that it had previously, or does it not lose its status of tumah that it had previously? Obviously, that's the final discussion on the daf. So let's begin. We are holding four lines from the top of the page. Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Mafteach Chalukah. So we said one of the ksharim that a woman is allowed to tie on Shabbos, that it's mamish mutar l'chadchila, not even patra avlas, mutar l'chadchila, is the knots that she would tie on her shirt. That apparently there were straps on women's clothing, and she would tie this strap to keep her clothing on. So says Gmar Pshita, obviously that's mutar l'chadchila, meaning people change their clothing all the time. So if you're constantly changing your clothing, obviously it's not a kesher shel kayama. So says Gemara lo tricha di islei trei dashi mal de tema chadminayu betulei maftil kamash melan. That I would have thought that since it has two straps, and apparently all she needs to do in order to remove her clothing is to unstrap one of them, so what people would frequently do was they would tie both straps, keep one of them tied constantly, and only untie the other one. So I might have thought that the one that's tied constantly is going to be at least patra v'lasar mitarabanan. It should at least be asar mitarabanan to tie such a knot. So kamash milan, that you don't have to worry about anything like that. That these are temporary in nature. And even though some women may keep one tied, a woman is allowed to be kosher these knots. The Mishnah went on to say the knots on a woman's hat, that a woman would tie her hat on tight to keep her hat on. So also, a person doesn't go to sleep in their hat, they don't bathe in their hat, it's something she's going to be removing all the time. So isn't that also obvious that the knots on a person's hat are also not a kesher shel kayama? Says Gemara, pshita, it's obvious that this is mutar l'chadchila to do. And says Gemara, no, tzricha, de revichala, we're talking about a hat that's a little bit loose, so Al Detema Mishra Shalfala, Kamashmalan, the Isha Chasal Sa'ara, Umishra Sharyala. I might have thought that a woman, since it's a little bit loose, she'll be able to get the hat off without untying the knot, so she might leave the knot there for a long period of time, in which case it will become a Kesher Shal Kayama. So Kamashmalan, that even though she theoretically could remove the hat without untying the knot, she's not going to remove the hat without untying the knot, because when she does that, she may pull out some of her hairs. A woman is chasa al sa'ara, she's concerned about her hair, she doesn't want to pull out her hairs, so we assume that she's not going to leave the knot in place, she's going to untie the knot, and that's why the knots on the hat, even on a loose-fitting hat, are not a kesher shel kayama. Ritzos min al v'sandal, this is going to be the bulk of the discussion of the daf, is about the straps on shoes and on sandals. So the Mishnah said this is also something that's mutar l'chadchila, that one is allowed to tie the straps on shoes and sandals on Shabbos. So itmar, hita ritzos min al v'sandal, tani chad l'chayv chatas, v'tani idach patra v'laser, v'tani idach mutar l'chadchila. We have three brisos about straps of both sandals and shoes. One brisa says that you chayv chatas. The other brisa says that it's patra v'laser. And the other and the third brisa says that it's mutar l'chadchila. It doesn't talk about kosher, it talks about matir, but we know that these are twin melachos. They always go hand in hand. That anything, any type of knot that you chayv for tying, that you chayv, if you tie on Shabbos, you're going to be chayv for matir for untying that knot on Shabbos as well. They always go together, kosher and matir. So even though we're talking about hitir ritzuos min al v'sandal, it's the same thing as telling us that kosher would fit in these three categories. So bottom line is, kosher min al kosher sandal sandal. It's a three-way stira about shoes, and it's a three-way stira about sandals, because we have a brice of chayv chatos, a brice of patra v'la, and a brisa of mutar l'chadchila. So says Gemara, minal aminal lo kasha. The stira about shoes is not a stira at all. Each of the brises is talking about a different type of knot tied in a shoe. Hadiktani chayiv chatos. When we say that the knot that you chayiv chatos for tying a knot in a shoe is b'du ushkafi, we're talking about where the shoemaker himself ties the knot into the shoe and he puts the strap in really tight in a way that it's never going to be undone. Meaning the shoemaker is making the shoe, so when he ties a knot that keeps the shoe together, that's supposed to be forever. That's supposed to be for the life of the shoe. That is certainly a kesher shel kayama, and therefore it's going to be chayiv chatos. Patra v'laser b'drabanan. When we say that a certain knots are patra v'laser, that's a knot that the rabbanan would tie, that rabbis would tie in their shoes. What's unique about the way rabbis would tie their shoes? So says Rashi, b'drabanan kishakoshim sav raglayim ein koshun b'dochat. That rabbanim typically did not tie their shoes on particularly tight. Shepa'amim shecholso kshu kosher v'noa lo kshu kosher. Sometimes the rabbanim didn't want to go through the hassle of untying and retying their shoes, so they would tie their shoes rather loosely, and they would make their shoes like slip-ons. They would take off their shoe without untying it, and they would put them on without tying it. Umiyu kesher shel kayama lo havi shebishas hatit matirin oso v'koshin oso b'dochat. Aye, so why doesn't that make it a kesher shel kayama, asks Rashi. Shouldn't we say that, okay, that's the definition of kesher shel kayama, they're going to leave it there and not undo it. He says, no, sometimes they do untie these knots. When do they untie these knots? If they're going to have to walk through mud, let's say, and they need their shoes on really tight. They don't want their shoes to get stuck in the mud, and they'll end up walking right out of their shoes. And they don't want the shoe to get stuck in the mud, and their foot will come right out of their shoe, so they're not interested in that, so they're going to tie it very tight when they walk through the mud. So since sometimes they'll untie these knots, that's what makes it patra v'laser. That's not a full kesher shel kayama. What's a case where it's mutar l'chadchila? So zakta gemara mutar l'chadchila bid b'nei mechuza. The mutar l'chadchila is when b'nei mechuza tie their feet. What's tie their shoes? What's unique about the b'nei mechuza? So Rashi explains that they're very makbid, that their clothing looks perfect, that everything should look just right. So shoes that are loosely tied don't look just right. So they tie their shoes very tightly. If you tie your shoes very tightly, the only way to remove your shoes is by untying the shoes. So every time they remove their shoes, they're untying the shoes. Every time they put them on, they're tying them again. It's not a kesher shel kayama at all. And that's mutar l'chadchila. That's...
It depends how you regularly wear your shoes?
Yeah, it depends what your intention is with each knot. If it's a knot that you plan on keeping forever and ever, so even that's going to be a kesher shel kayama. If it's a knot that now it has to be, if it's a knot that you plan on untying very soon, even though it could theoretically stand for a while, but you plan on untying it very soon, so then it's not a kesher shel kayama. Yeah, it's not. Meaning it's a good question about the nature of the malach of kosher. Is it a din in the chefza or a din in the kavana? Right? Is it a din in the knot itself that any knot that can last, or is it a din? This Gemara says no. It doesn't seem like it's what can last. It's about what will last. What you're actually going to do that helps define kesher shel kayama. Tying a tie on Shabbos is a very important example of that. A tie, not in a tie, could last forever and ever. So why is it that we're makel, we're knowing to tie a tie on Shabbos? What? Yeah, because you take it off. You don't go to sleep in your tie. You take it off all the time. Always less than 24 hours that you untie your tie knot. That's usually the gather. Yes, that's a problem. You probably shouldn't tie that. I mean, you could loosen. You could put it on and off like that. I'm saying, if someone's minug is to do like that, then they shouldn't tie such a tie on Shabbos. Probably, right? If they plan on leaving it there forever. Sometimes people do that for their kids. They'll tie the tie for the kids, and the kids will have that tie forever until they grow out of it. That they'll always be able to put it on and off. But they probably shouldn't tie that on Shabbos. Okay, so that's in terms of the ritzuos of a shoe. What about sandals? Sandal. Of course, remember we had three brises about sandals. Also, one that said chayiv chatos, one that says patra v'las, one that says mutar l'chadchila. Haduk tani chayiv chatos b'detayoi dekatri ushkafi. The one that says that you're chayiv chatos is talking about the when the shoemakers would tie the sandals for the Arab merchants. Again, with the same idea being that they were meant to be more permanent, that the Arab merchants would need their sandals tied on really tightly.
What if I'm talking about the ties that are built into the sandals to make it structurally sound?
No. When we talk about shoemakers,
in the minhal also. That's what I thought we meant in the minhal also.
Yeah. When we talk about shoemakers, it's what's built into the sandals.
Not a tie closed by the consumer.
No, not by the consumer. Ushkafi is the shoemaker.
Right.
Yeah. So over here, also by sandals, also it's by the shoemaker that they tie for the Yishma'eli merchants. Apparently, they would. Meaning, normally sandals, I guess, didn't involve tying in the shoemaking process. I don't know why. I don't know exactly how the sandals look, but apparently, for the Yishma'eli merchants, they would involve some sort of tying. They would have a kesher kavua. Rashi points out. Patra v'lasser b'duchumrasa dekatri inhu, that patra v'lasser is a case of the sandals of regular people, where Rashi explains she'ein ritzuos kavuos behen al yidei uman. There were no straps that the shoemaker himself put in there. Elahim atzman koshen rosam b'chumrasa b'yalma v'koshen matirin upamim shemeskayim Shabbos el chodesh, that the consumer themselves would tie this shoe together, and sometimes it would last a week, sometimes it would last a month, but it wasn't forever. So that's aser midrab, but it's not a full kesher shel kayama. Mutar lechatchila b'sandal d'nafki bei trei, and mutar lechatchila is a sandal that would be shared by two people. Two people who have two slightly different sized feet, and since it's like two people share tefillin, let's say, who have different sized heads, so they're constantly undoing the knot in order to make it smaller or larger. So that's what would happen with sandals. So if they're being shared by two people, so it's not going to be kesher shel kayama at all. Kid Rav Yehuda, like Rav Yehuda said, Rav Yehuda achua de Rav Sal Chasida havele zuga de sandale. Rav Yehuda, the brother of Sal Chasida, had a pair of sandals. Zimnin denafik bei ihu, zimnin denafik bei yenuke. Sometimes he would go out with it, and sometimes his kid would wear it. He would share it with his son. Asl kameh d'abayi. So he came to Abayi. Amalei ki agavna mayin. And he said, "What's the din about tying such sandals on Shabbos?" Amalei chayiv chatas. He said, "What do you mean? What's the din? It's an isadar raisi. Chayiv chatas for tying such sandals." Amalei hashta patar avalaser kakashali. Chayiv chatas kamritli. He says, "You know what? I wasn't even thinking in terms of chayiv chatas. My whole question was, is it mutter or is it asr midrabanan? The worst I could have imagined that you would answer me would be that it's asr midrabanan. Now you're telling me chayiv chatas? That's, I never would have thought such a thing. So my taima, he says, well, why wouldn't you think such a thing? What would be the reason that you would assume it can't be an issa daraisa? Amrei mishum do b'chol nami, zimne nafkina be'ana, zimne nafik be'yanuka. On a weekday also, I share it with my child. Sometimes I go out with it, sometimes he goes out with it. So we're always tying and untying the straps of these sandals. He says, you know what? If that's the case, then it's mutal l'chadchila. I didn't realize that it was a type of knot in a sandal that you're constantly doing and undoing because you share with somebody else. If that's the case, then eino chinami. It's not going to be chayiv chatos. It's not even going to be patar v'laser. It's mamish mutal l'chadchila.
Why isn't it like his shoes? Why do they have an issue if you make a double knot? Here they don't talk about the kind of knot.
Yeah, double knot's not so pashut. It's not so pashut that a double knot is a problem.
They don't seem to care if I make a double knot, a stronger knot that's more permanent. How come the permanence of the knot is not an issue with these shoes?
No, the permanence of the knot is very much an issue, but the strength of the knot. The strength of the knot is not an issue. The permanence of the knot is the whole issue.
No, permanence means that means a double knot on the shoes. Let's say they're changing shoes, but if there's a double knot, it's a shiloh.
Yeah, double knot is shaila because we had a different. Because we had a rule
so
that
the permanence of it, how hard it is to untie it, has no issue.
Yeah, so Reb Meir had a statement on the first mission of the parak where Reb Meir said, "Kol kesher shu yachol atiro ba'achas miyadav, ein chayav nalav." That you're not going to be chayav on any knot that you can undo with one hand, which apparently speaks not to the intention behind the knot, but to the strength of the knot. So that's where the double knot comes in. It happens to be, I think, if you tie a double knot and you pull really hard, you could still undo it with one hand. Yeah, by just pulling one string. So I'm not so sure that there is a problem with double knot. But that's obviously that's part of the malach of kosher is figuring out how much of it, like we said before, relates to not. Right, not about these shoes. These are not shoelaces. These are straps that are a little different than our shoelaces. I'm not sure exactly what they look like, but they're straps around the shoes or the sandals that are not the same as our shoelaces. So says the Gemara Vayter. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah of a Kazel Basreid Rabbi Avo Bekarmelis. Rabbi Yirmiyah was following Rabbi Avo in the Karmelis. Ifsik Ritzua de Sandale, and the strap of his sandal became undone. Amalei my Navila. He said, "What should I do?" Amalei Shakul Namila Shakul Gemilach. Sorry, the Chazi Lamachul Behema. He says, "Take a soft reed that could be used for Machul Behema, that could be used to feed an animal, Vekaruchi Lavei, and use that to wrap around the shoe." Meaning, he was worried that how's he going to keep his shoe on now? The strap fell off, so the shoe is completely unusable. And this is also going to raise a problem of muktza, that if the shoe is completely unusable, then it might be muktza on Shabbos. So he said, take a makeshift strap, use a soft reed, and wrap that around, and that will be fine. Abai havakoi kamed Rav Yosef. Abai was standing in front of Rav Yosef. Ifsik le'ritzua. And again, the strap of his shoe came undone. Amalei mayavadei. He said, what am I supposed to do? Amalei shavke. He says, well, leave your shoe there. You can't do anything about it. Your shoe is muktzah. You can't move it. Just leave it there. So maishnamid Rabbi Yirmiyah. So he said, well, wait a second. Rabbi Yirmiyah had this great advice to take this machal behema, this soft reed that's used as machal behema, so it itself isn't muktzah, and to strap it around. Why can't you do the same thing over here? So he says, hasam lo mintar, hacha mintar. So he says, no, the difference is that when it's left out in the Carmelis, it's not in a protected area, and therefore you're going to lose it. So because the Rabbanan didn't want to be so strict on a person that they're going to have to lose their shoe and they're never going to find it again, so they came up with a kula that you could use a strap that's machal behema and use that instead. But if it's in a protected area where the shoe's not going to be lost, so the Rabbanan aren't going to be makel on the muktzah shayla, and they're going to say that the shoe remains muktzah. Vahamanuhu dibina hafichna lemiyim in l'smol. So frankly, but wait a second, this is a kli, it shouldn't be muktzah because it's still usable, meaning even if one strap became undone, you could, let's say it was the strap on the right shoe that became undone, so it can no longer be used as a right shoe, but apparently you could still wear it on your left foot. Again, I don't have a clear picture of exactly how these straps work, but the outer strap that would make it usable for the right foot snaps. Now you could use it on the left foot because the strap on the other side will still work for the left foot. So I'm Hamitarit Rabbi Yochanan Libid Rabbi Yuda Shema Mina Halach Rabbi Yuda. So he says, well, wait a second. No, the reason why we don't assume that it's okay, you could just move it to your other foot, and that it's not a problem of muktzah, is from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is going to be mitari to Braisa, to be going like Rabbi Yehuda. So we see that the halacha must follow Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that once the outer strap of a shoe becomes snapped, it's no longer a kli, it now becomes muktzah. The rest of the amud is going to try to figure out where in the world did that happen. What was this statement that Rabbi Yochanan was mitari to Braisa to fit Rabbi Yehuda? But the bottom line over here is, before we get to where that happened and what the details of that are, is that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that once the strap becomes undone, it's muktzah, it's no longer usable at all. So that's why he held that it's muktzah when the strap becomes undone, and we didn't just say, just move it to the other foot, it's still a kli. So says the
Gemara. Straps undone means it's probably ripped, right?
Ripped off. That's what I'm assuming. It snaps. So says Gemara, Maihi, what's this Mitarit Rabbi Yochanan Alibid Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yochanan explains something to be going like Rabbi Yehuda? Titania, we have a brisa as follows. Sandal Shenivsku Shtei Oznav, O Shtei Tarsiyosav, O Shenitel Kolakaf Shalom. If a sandal loses its two ears, Rashi says, Sheklape Gava Regel, Sheoxoben Kshenoalo, they have these flaps that you would pull up when you're pulling on the shoe. You would pull by these two flaps, that's the Oznav. Oznaim literally means ears, but we use it in terms of kelim also. We talk about the oznei kli of a pot, you know, the handles, something that you would hold something by are is the ozen. Tarsiosav is, Rashi says, makom kavios haritzuos, the place where the straps are nikva into the sandal. So if, let's say, any of these parts come out of the sandal, or the kaf shalo. What's the kaf? Rashi says, shula belash shetachas parsel saregel, like the sole under the foot, under the palm of the foot, so to speak, under the sole of the foot. So if any of these parts come out of the sandal, tahar, then the sandal is tahar, meaning it loses its status of a kli. So any tumah that it had previously, it loses because it's no longer a kli. Achas me oznav, o achas mi tarsiosav. But what if one of the flaps, or one of the tarsiosav, one of the places where the ritzuos are supposed to be kavua, o shenital rova kafshalo, or only the majority of the sole of the shoe fell off? So then tameh, then it's still going to be a kli, it's still going to be tameh. Rabbi Yehuda omer nifsuka penimis tameh hachitzon notar. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends which strap fell off. If it's the inner strap, then it's tameh. If it's the outer, meaning it's still a kli, if it's the outer strap, well, then it's no longer a usable shoe. It's useless at this point. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that we can't make a blanket statement that if only one strap falls off, it's no big deal, it's still a shoe. He says it depends which strap falls off. There's the more critical one, and then there's the less critical one. The outer strap is the more critical strap, and therefore, if the chitzona falls off, the shoe is going to be tahar. So says Gemara, v'amarula v'item rabba barbachana, amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan made the statement, kimachlokas linyan tumah, just like we have this machlokas about what's still called a shoe and what's not called a shoe in regards to the halachos of tumah, kach machlokas linyan Shabbos, so too we have a machlokas in regards to hilcha Shabbos, meaning if it's a kli, it's not going to be muktzah. If it's no longer a usable shoe, then it will be muktzah. So that the same definition of what makes it a kli, legabe hilchus tumah, is going to also define what makes it a kli, legabe hilchus muktzah and Shabbos. Avaloli inyan chalitza. But that same definition is not going to work in terms of defining what can be used as a shoe for chalitza. In order for a woman to do chalitza, there will be a different definition of what makes something a shoe. So va'avinaba, Rabbi Yochanan liba deman. Who's Rabbi Yochanan assuming, like, when he makes that statement? When Rabbi Yochanan says that the same geder we use for tumah, we use for Shabbos, but not for chalitza, who's he talking about? Is he talking about the sheet of the Rabbanan, that as soon as a single strap becomes undone, it doesn't matter, a single strap doesn't affect the shoe at all? Or is he assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that a single strap can affect the status of a shoe if it's the outer strap of the shoe? So, Ilem alibet Rabbanan, if he's going alibet Rabbanan, midilinyan tumah manahavi, linyan Shabbos nami manahavi, so then what he would be saying is that if one strap falls off, just like in the world of Tumah, it's still called a Kli, and therefore it's still Tameh. So too in the world of Shabbos, it would still be called a Kli, and therefore would not be Muktzah. Avalol Chalitza. But he'd be saying the same would not be true by Chalitza, the Lav Manahu, that if one strap comes off, it's not a Kli for Chalitza, would not be considered a Chalitza shoe. So that's what, if Rabbi Yehuda is working within the sheet, if Rabbi Yochanan rather is working within the sheet of the Rabbanan, that's what he would be saying. So says Gemara Vatnan, but we know that the Mishnah tells us, Chalitza shall small be amin, Chalitza sekshera, that you can use a left shoe on the right foot for Chalitza. Chalitza has to be done on the right foot. That's the halacha. The Chalitza has to be done, Haregel Ayimini, that has to be done on the right foot. What if you use a left shoe on the right foot? So the Mishnah says, Beferish, that such a chalitza is kosher. Now a strap where, a shoe where one strap fell off can still be used on the other foot. So if Rabbi Yochanan is talking within the sheet of the Rabbanan, what's he saying? That even though the Rabbanan say when one strap falls off, when the outer strap falls off, it's still considered a shoe, legabe Shabbos, legabe Tuma, but not for chalitza. You can't use it for chalitza. Well, when the outer strap falls off, you could just move it to the other foot. And we have a Mishnah that moving to the other foot is fine, that that's okay for Chalitza. So why is Rabbi Yehuda saying, but not for Chalitza? It should work for Chalitza. So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan is not going within the sheet of the Rabbanan. Ve'ela alibud Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan is working within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Again, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda was that if the outer strap comes off of a shoe, it's then not going to be usable, it's not going to be considered a kli anymore. Only if the inner strap comes off of the shoe is it still considered a kli.
So the rabbis had the chalitza shoe.
Well, that's what we do now, but
no,
because...
They
could use any shoe that fits the criteria. There are several criteria you need for a chalitza shoe.
Was
the
shoe was wearing left or right foot, right? Then they come to court, they had...
It could have been any shoe as long as it fits the criteria. It doesn't have to. So nowadays the Beis Din keeps the shoe. Nowadays the Beis Din has a. It's a funny looking thing. I don't know if you've ever seen a chalitza shoe. Now go on YouTube. You could. There's the videos of chalitzas. I remember when we were learning Yevamos, everyone was passing around this video of a chalitza on YouTube. Never. I mean, it's such a sad thing. But like all these yeshiva bachrim looking on. Sometimes they make to educate people. They'll do it in a more public way. But yeah, it's a funny looking shoe. So nowadays, like, you can't bring your own shoe because our own shoes don't fit the, it has to go up the leg a little bit, it has to have certain straps, it has to be all leather, there are certain criteria. It's, well, looks funny. Okay, so anyway, so midilinyan tuma lav manahu. So again, so what's Rabbi Yochanan saying? He's working within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and he's saying if the outer strap fell off, midilinyan tuma lav manahu, from the fact that it's not considered a kli legabe tuma, linyan Shabbos nami lav manahu, it's also not considered a kli legabe Shabbos, avalol chalitza de manahu, but when it comes to chalitza, it will be considered a shoe. So Amar da Amar Chalitza shall small be Yamin Chalitza Sekshir says Mar, but wait a second, that's also too big of a chiddush. When do we say the Chalitza is kasher? If you use a right shoe, a left shoe on the right foot, Hecha de Lemil Se Manahu, that's only if it's still a viable shoe to be used on the left foot. Meaning if you use a left shoe on the right foot, but it's a shoe that's still a perfectly good left shoe, then it's going to be good for Chalitza. But Hecha Lemil Se Lav Manahu, but over here for its own, the outer strap came off, so it can no longer be used on the left foot. So how can you use it for chalitza if it can no longer be used on the left foot? Da'am Rav Yehuda nivska chitzona tar, because after all, Rav Yehuda is the one that said that if the outer strap comes off, it's not a shoe, it's not a kli anymore. Alma lav manu, so you see that it's not considered a kli, so it doesn't work alibad Rav Yehuda either. So answers Gemara li'olam alibad Rav Yehuda. Rav Yochanan's statement about the definition of a shoe being the same for Tumah and Shabbos, but not being the same for chalitza, was indeed made within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Ema v'chein l'chalitza, but instead of having the statement be that for Tumah and Shabbos it has the same criteria and not for chalitza, just change one word. What he really says is that for Tumah, Shabbos, and chalitza, it all has the same criteria of what makes a shoe and what doesn't make a shoe. V'hakam ashmalan, the chiddush is as follows. D'chi amrinu l'chalso shal smol b'shal yamin chalitza sok sheira, when do we say you can use a left shoe on the right foot for chalitza? That's only hecha delamilsei manahu. That's only when, for its intended purpose, it's still considered a real kli, a real shoe. Aval hachal delamilsei lav manahu. But over here, where the outer strap became undone for its own purpose, it's not considered a mana. It's not considered considered a kli, and therefore it's not going to be usable for chalitza. So what Rabbi Yochanan said was that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the outer strap becomes undone. It's not a shoe. It's not a shoe for Shabbos. It's not a shoe for Tumah, and it's not a shoe for chalitza. When do we say you could use a left shoe on the right foot for chalitza? That's if it's a perfectly viable left shoe. That's if no straps had become undone yet. That's the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. But bottom line is, what do we see over here? Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that could either fit the sheet of the Rabbanan or fit the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara concluded it only fits the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yochanan obviously holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And that was our point, meaning that Rabbi Yochanan has to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, right? That's why we said... that's why the Gemara had said that midikometaritz Rabbi Yochanan libid Rabbi Yehuda shema mina halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yochanan holds the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore you can't just switch the shoe from one foot to another. That wasn't an option when the strap becomes undone. It becomes muktzah. It's not usable when the outer strap becomes undone, because Rabbi Yochanan assumes like Rabbi Yehuda. So, and that's why the shoe's muktzah on Shabbos when the outer strap becomes undone. So frak the Gemara, but wait a second. Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan hachit, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold this way? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say that the halacha follows a stam mishnah utznan? And we have a stam mishnah that tells us sandal shenifsaka achas me'azna v'tikna tamei medris. If one of the flaps of a shoe become undone and then you're misaking it, it's still tamei medris, meaning the tumah that the shoe had from a zav walking on that shoe is still going to be in place, because the shoe never lost its status of a shoe when one strap became undone. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the outer strap is what becomes undone, it loses its status of tumah of a shoe. So my love, will skip the parentheses, my love, loshna pnimis loshna chitzona, doesn't one strap becoming undone mean that it doesn't matter which strap became undone, that even if the outer one became undone, it still maintains its status of a kli, which would be like the shita of the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Yehuda? So you see, Rabbi Yochanan holds like a stam mishnah, and the stam mishnah clearly assumes like the Rabbanan. So how can you tell me Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? We see over here Rabbi Yochanan holds like the Rabbanan. So says Gemara, lo, you misunderstood the stam mishnah. Pnimis dafka, the mishnah, when it says that if one strap becomes undone, it's still a shoe, is only talking about if the inner strap becomes undone. If the outer strap were to become undone, then in a chinami, we'd hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that it would no longer be considered a shoe. Avol chitzona mai, what would be the din if the outer strap became undone? Tar would be perfectly tar. Ihachi, if that's the case, adetani nifska shniya v'tikna tar min amedris avol tamei magam medris. But then when the Mishnah goes on to tell me and say, goes on to say that if the second strap became undone and then you fixed it, it now loses its old tumas medris status that it had because it's a brand new shoe. But it's tamei magam medris, meaning that it's still considered a kli in its own right that has the ability to become tamei from touching something because it's now a fixed, usable item. It's not the same item, because it broke since it was tamei the first time, but it's now a functioning, usable item, and as a functioning, usable item, it can become tamei. And the way Rashi understands, not only can it become tamei, it is tamei because it touched itself while it was tamei medrus, meaning it was tamei medrus before it broke, and this shoe that's in place now, it's made of the same material, so we view that as if it had touched something that was tamei medrus, and that's enough to make it a rishon l'tuma. So, but instead of giving that case, if you want to come up with an example where it's tamei, it's niflog b'didah b'medvar mamum shnivska pnimis. Meaning, if you instead of giving that case where it's tahar from tumas medrus by saying that that both straps have to become snapped in order for it to become tahar, say a better chiluk, say as follows that b'med when do we assume it's still tamei shenifska pnimis? That's only if the inner strap becomes snapped. Avil chitzona, but if the outer strap becomes snapped, tahor, even though it's only one strap. Instead of telling me that if both straps become undone, then it's tahor, say better that if only the outer strap becomes undone, that it's going to be tahor. Why doesn't it say like that? The fact that it doesn't say like that must tell you that this mishnah is not assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that if only the outer strap becomes undone, that it's tahor. So Amrav Yitzchak ben Yosef, Teimish Nasenu Besandal Sheishal Arba Aznaim, Ba Arba Tarsi Yosayim. Now, maybe this Mishnah is assuming we're talking about a shoe that doesn't have two straps, an outer one and an inner one. It has four straps, two outer ones, two inner ones. And that's why we say that it only becomes Tahar when two straps become undone. If both outer straps become undone, and that's exactly like Rabbi Yehuda, that when only the outer straps become undone, it loses Tumah status. Shelo Lishbar Dvar V'Shel Rabbi Yochanan, just to make Rabbi Yochanan fit, we're allowed to say that the Mishnah is talking about this unique kind of shoe that is two inner straps, two outer straps, just to make Rabbi Yochanan work, because Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, and yet he paskins like a Stam Mishnah that sounds like it's going like the Rabbanan. So we have to say, no, we got to make that Stam Mishnah work, Aliba the Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Kiasa Rav Amar of Chanan Baraba Amar Rav, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. That Rav said the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Well, wait a second. What did we just do? The last Amud was showing that Rabbi Yochanan does hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Now you just come in with a statement that Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan was mit, we can only make sense of Rabbi Yochanan's statement within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Amorai, Ninuvali, but Rabbi Yochanan. So Machlokas Amoraim, what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan was from the earlier Tanaim. Rabbi Yochanan was in the generation of Rav and Shmuel, and Rav already was Tanahu Palud. We don't say about anyone else in Rav's generation, but we say about Rav that Rav was Tanu Palig, that Rav was a Tana. Why was he had the status of a Tana? There's a lot to argue on a Mishnah or a Braisa. The other members of his generation didn't. So the Pashtus is that means that they chose not to, meaning there was no halacha that an Amor is not allowed to argue on a Tana. Because Mishnah points out that at some point the Amoraim came to the realization that the time would be better spent trying to figure out the words of the Tanaim rather than arguing on the Tanaim. So they were Kabbalah on themselves that they're not going to argue on a Tana. Rav was in that earlier generation, that for one of those earlier generations. Rav was never Makabal that on himself. Rabbi Yochanan was, Shmuel was, all the other Tanaim were. So that's why we never say Rabbi Yochanan Tanu Palug. But he was pretty early on. So later Amoraim already could argue about what Rabbi Yochanan says. Now, generally speaking, we try not to have such a thing. We try not to say that if you have a stira, but we try not to answer it by saying that it's a machlokas what Rabbi Yochanan actually said. Because, as Rashi points out in Masechus Ksuvas, that even though you can have the concept of Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that's if one person says Tameh, another person says Tar, you can say one person says Chayim, the other one says Pat, you can say Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. They're both right from some perspective. That there's they're both part, what each one is saying is Divrei Elokim Chayim. But if you're arguing about a Metzius, you're arguing about, did he say this? Did he not say this? When you're arguing about, does it fit into the Chachma of Torah to say Chayiv or to say Pater, they could both be correct. Both sides could be correct. That it all fits into Torah. But what did Rabbi Yochanan hold? You're arguing, what did Rabbi Yochanan, well, he only held one way. So then you can't say somebody's wrong in such machlokas, and we'd rather not have machlokas amongst Amoraim where somebody's wrong. So it's always a last resort to say something like this, but the Gemara has no choice. So it's Amoraim in Alibid Rabbi Yochanan. So machlokas Amoraim, what Rabbi Yochanan held. Tan Hasam. So this is the final topic on the daf. Now we're going to discuss if you have kelim that break and then are repaired and then break a little more and then are repaired and break a little, do the different breaks combine to equal one large break that will change the entire status of the kli? So kol klei bali batim shirin karimonim. Typically speaking, if the shear of a hole in a kli that would make the kli lose its status of tuma is if the kli can no longer hold pomegranates. The holes are so big that the pomegranates would fall right through the holes. So bai Chizkia nikev kemotzi zayis sasmo v'chazav nikev kemotzi zayis u'sasmo adche shlima lemotzi rimon. Let's say it had a hole the size of a zayis, and then you close it up, and then another hole developed the size of a zayis, and you close it up, and you keep doing that until all the holes together would have equaled the size of a rimon. So mahu, what's the din? Do we assume it's the same kli and it still has its old tuma, or do we assume no, it's a brand new kli and therefore the old tuma is gone? Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi shanisalanu sandal shnivska achas miyazna v'tikna tamei medris nivska shniya v'tikna tarmina medris. Says, well, you taught us the same thing by a shoe, that if one strap comes undone and then you fix it, then the other strap comes undone and then you fix it, it's tahar from its old tuma. Why is it tahar from its old tuma? Aval tamei maga medris, only tamei as maga medris, as we said before, like a rishon l'tuma. But it's tar from its old tumas medrash. V'armilach, and we asked you, Maishna Rishona, da kaima shniya shniya nami misakin Rishona. Why is it that you're going to assume that it loses its tumas status when the first strap became undone? It was still a usable shoe because the second strap was there. So when the second strap became undone, the first strap was there because you had already fixed it. So why does it lose its status? Midas of Tumah that he used to have. And you explained to us that the reason it loses its status is Panim Chadashos Baal Lekan, that it's a brand new kli, because if you had to repair piece by piece as it happens, so then the whole kli, by the time you're done repairing everything, is a brand new kli, and therefore it loses its old status. V'achadami, so we hear also by a kli that had a hole the size of a zayis, and you fixed it, and another hole the size of a zayis, and you fixed it, etc. Panim Chadashos Baal Lekan, we consider it a brand new kli. So that was his answer. That's how he was miyashiv this question. That's how he was poshiv this shaila. So Kari Alei, so he says about him when he gave that answer. Again, who was the Shaila over here? The Shaila was Chizkia asked the Shaila, and Rabbi Yochanan gave the answer. So Chizkia says about Rabbi Yochanan, Les Dein Bar Inish. This person is superhuman. To give such a beautiful answer, he's like a Malach Hashem Tzvakos. What an unbelievable thing. Ikeda Amri Kigon Dein Bar Inish. Others say that he didn't say he's superhuman, he said he's the epitome of a human being. That guy is a person. That's a real gavras to give such an answer like that. Amrav Zera Amarava Barzimuna Im Rishonim B'nei Malachim Anu B'nei Anashim. If the earlier generations, like Rabbi Yochanan, were B'nei Malachim, they were like sons of angels, then we're like B'nei Anashim, we're like regular people. The Im Rishonim B'nei Anashim, and if the earlier generations were regular men, then Anu Kachamorim, then we're like donkeys. The Sfasemis points out that both of those Lashonos correspond to the two Lashonos we just had. Once the one Lashon was that this guy is superhuman, so then that would fit with Im Rishonim Kibbnei Malachim, then we're Kibbnei Anashim. The other is that, no, this is a human being, this is a person. So that fits with the statement that Im Rishonim Kibbnei Anashim, then we're like Chamorim. V'loka Chamorim Shal Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa V'shar Pinchas Ben Yari El Kshar Chamorim. And when you say we're like donkeys, not like the donkeys that belong to Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa or Pinchas Ben Yari, which were very special donkeys, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, we're like regular donkeys. What's the famous donkey is Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. That's in Chulin Dav Zayin. The Gemara tells the story that Pinchas Ben Yair was staying at an inn, and the innkeeper tried to feed the donkey, and the donkey refused to eat. And over again, he refused to. He wouldn't eat anything until Pinchas Ben Yair said, "Maybe it's demai. Maybe you need to take trumas and maisus from it." So he took trumas and maisus from it, and then the donkey was willing to eat. So the Gemara has the famous comment that behemtan shel tzadikim afilu behemtan shel tzadikim yana kosh baruch hu maybe takal al yadam tzadikim matzman lo kol shkein, that even the behemah of a tzadik, kosh baruch hu is not going to allow a takala to come about through the behemah of a tzadik. So through a tzadik himself, for sure, there's never going to be such a takala to come about. So that's what we learned from the behema, from the chamor. That's the special chamor of Pinchas Ben Yair. Rav Yosef Engel raises the kasha, an obvious kasha. He says, "What do you mean? Wait a second. Over there, we're talking about the Gemara wants to. We want to. The Tosus tries to make a point about the fact that it's demai, that it's only Nisid Rabbanon, that even Nisid Rabbanon he wouldn't come to eat. Maybe it wasn't only Nisid Rabbanon. Maybe it was the donkey knew that Klapeya MS that this was not Mu'usar, so it's Tevel." Daraisa. I mean, the fact that it belongs to Namaritz, and we didn't know what it was, so for us we view it as Demai, but maybe it's really Tevel Daraisa. What does that tell us about the nature of the Yisr of Demai? Is Demai Asr Mitam Safek, or is Demai a new din, a new status called Demai, that it doesn't matter what's true, Klape Emes in terms of that. But that's the big kasha that all the Rishonim ask throughout Shas, tells us in Gittin, and tells us in Misach Eskulin, that how can you say, Hashav Emtan Shal Tzadikim and Akosh Baruch Mevita Kol Yodim Tzadikim Atzma L'Kol Shkein. Shas is full of examples where tzaddikim made mistakes, where they bishogig, they did something. Rabba reading from a ner in Masechta Shabbos is one example where he said, "Ani ekra, I'll read from a ner on Shabbos, and I'm not going to be matted the ner. I'm not going to tilt anything when I read from the ner." And what happened? He started to read from the ner, and he needed to get a better look, and he tilted the ner 2 days in the Gemara. Whether he actually tilted and it was mechaba the flame or almost did, but at least according to one day in the Gemara, he actually did it. So what do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maybe takal al yadam. So Gemara in the 10th paragraph of Maseches Pesachim about an Amori eating before Abdullah. All sorts of examples that we have of tzaddikim that a takala came about. So the Baal HaTosfos basically, there are a few mahalchim that we show, and the Baal HaTosfos go with the mahalich that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maybe takal al yadam by things that are not Yisurei Achila. It's only by Macholos Asuros that we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takal Yadam. Probably relates to the general concept of Timtum Alev, that there's something specially bad about non-kosher food. that non-kosher food has a particularly harmful effect on a person's neshama. So that's what we say. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be mevi takola al yadam. Let's just go a little bit weiter. V'nodos yayin v'shemen. So we said the flasks of wine and oil also you can untie and tie on Shabbos. So pshita, of course you can. They're very temporary in nature. So lo tzricha di isle tarti oni. Now we're talking about a case where there are two straps. So ma'od detem achadim inay betulim maftula kamash mlon. You might think that you're going to leave one as is forever. So kamash mlon, that you're not going to leave one as is. It's not going to be kesh shel keyama. Kederish shel basar. Also you could tie it on tie. Pshita. Also that's obvious. Lo tzricha di isle shalacha ma'od detem betulim maftula kamash mlon. It also has like a bottom side where you could untie it. So I might think that you're vatal the knot. Kamash mlon that you're not. Rab Lozer ben Yaakov Omer Kosra. So Pshita. So again, this is going back on the last line of the Mishnah. Rab Lozer ben Yaakov says you could tie a behema so that it won't escape. So Gemara says it's also obvious. So Tzricha de Isla Tarti Isri. Mal de Tema Chadiminai Betulim Afil. Kamash mlon. The case is that there are two knots there. You might think that you leave one of them there forever and therefore it's a Kesh Shal Kayama. Kamash mlon, not that way. Amr Rav Yosef Amr Bidom Rashmuel Halach Rab Lozer ben Yaakov. We pass on like Rab Lozer ben Yaakov. Amr Le Abaye Halach Mechal de Pligi. When you say you pass like Rav Lozer ben Yaakov, it makes it sound like somebody argues. Amalei my nafkalach mina. He says, why do you care if someone argues? What difference does it make if someone argues? I already told you that halacha is like Rav Lozer ben Yaakov. So whether someone argues or no one argues, either way the halacha is like Rav Lozer ben Yaakov. So why would you care if someone argues? Amalei gemara zmartatei. What, should the gemara just be a song that you sing, that you chirp this way, that way? No, we need to know all the shittos. And this goes back to Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that you need to know even the shittos that we don't pass like, because that's also part of Talmud Torah, to learn the shittos that we don't Paskin like as well. Okay, but Hashem, if there's interest, I'll be here tomorrow still. So we'll pick up from the Mishnah tomorrow.
Rabbi Leibowitz has agreed to give us here tomorrow as well. Same time, because we're not diving early on Thursday, I think. Still 7:30. 6 is...